Well, greetings, radio friends, and welcome to another broadcast of this Christ-honoring program called The Voice of the Gospel. Know how thankful I am today for the fact that there is a gospel to preach. Yes, it's the story of God's redeeming love as expressed in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. And I also thank God today that I was saved by the grace of God back on June the 2nd of 1952. Yes, that was a day in my life's experience when, as a lost, guilty, and hell-bound sinner, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. Tell me, radio friend, can you look back to a time in your life when, after having been convicted of your sin before God, you trusted His Son as your Savior? And can you honestly say before God today that if you were to die right now, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your soul would immediately go to heaven? Can you, friend? Well, I'm not your judge, and only God knows your spiritual condition. But I must tell you, my friend, in love for your soul, that if there has never been a time when, a place where, and a manner how you were born again into the family of God, then you are even now under the condemnational wrath of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ told the religious Pharisee named Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So tell me, friend, have you ever been born again? Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then it's obvious you've never been born again. On the other hand, if you believe that you are born again through baptism or church membership, or trying to do the best you can and so on and so forth, then you too are being misguided. Yes, you're only a heartbeat from a place that Jesus Christ calls hell. You know, over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, we read that we are born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, we are born again into God's family when we believe what the word of God says about us being sinners and the fact that we can't do a thing to save our own soul. Then we believe the same word of God that tells us that nearly 2,000 years ago, at the place called Calvary, His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died in our guilty room and in our stead. So, friend, if you've never been saved and born again, if you don't have the assurance of eternal life in heaven, please, friend, please listen to the voice of the gospel broadcast today. This, my friend, might be the only time, and perhaps the last time, you'll ever hear the gospel. So please give heed to what the word of God has to say. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our God and our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bow in thy presence today. We thank Thee for Thy great gift of love in the person of Thy Son. We thank Thee that He came from heaven, lived a sinless life on earth, yet died on the old rugged cross for our sin. Father, we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. So, Father, may it please Thee today, by Thy Holy Spirit and through Thy word, to bring both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any who are listening in today who have never been saved and born again. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now then, those of you who have your Bibles handy, you might please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs, chapter 14, and we'll read together verse 12. This is Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Let's repeat that. This is Proverbs 14 and verse 12. I might add, too, that it's also Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His word. Well, friends, way back in the book of Revelation, the description of heaven is beyond the comprehension of our mere finite minds. We read that it has a street of gold, foundations of precious stones, 12 gates of pearl, and walls of diamonds. Yes, it's a place for which the saints of all the ages past have turned their anxious eyes. But listen, my friend, wouldn't it be a most solemn thing to miss the way to heaven? Yes, we live in this world for 50, 60, 70, 80, or even 90 years. And if after our sojourn here on earth, we find ourselves going out into the darkness of eternity, what a tragedy life would really be. Well, friend, if I were to conduct a door-to-door survey in your locality today and ask the question, how does one get to heaven? You know, I believe that I'd get numerous and various answers. And I don't doubt that most of you would tell me that you yourself expect to be there someday. And I trust you shall. But friend, listen, I've talked to so many people down through the years regarding their hopes for heaven, and I am amazed at their lack of understanding and knowledge of the inevitable eternity that lies ahead. Now, when I ask people what assurance they have that they are really on their way to heaven, I find that they are all confused. Some of them are highly resentful, and some won't even thank me for trying to give them authoritative information from the Word of God. Instead of, thus saith the Lord, I find them substituting their own finite reasoning with, I think this, or I think that, or I've heard this, or I've heard about that. So many people say, well, I think that everything will come out all right in the end. Sure, there are many different roads to heaven, they say, but after all, we're all going to the same place anyway, so there's nothing to worry about. Or they might say, well, we're all worshiping the same God, so we'll all get to heaven someday. Or they might still say, well, as long as you're sincere, that's all that matters. Now, friend, in view of this widespread misconception, let's take a brief look at the various ways that man has conceived, with the help of the devil, to presumably gain entrance into the presence of God in heaven. Now, let me say at the outset that every one of them is diabolically opposed to the Word of Almighty God. So if you, my unsaved and unseen friend, are on any one of these roads, I say with the fear of God as my only reservation that you are on your way to an eternal place of torment which Jesus Christ called hell. Now the first road that I would bring before you today I would call Legality Lane. Legality Lane. Are you on that pathway, my friend? It's a hard, rough, and stony road that passes by the ominous cliffs of Mount Sinai. And as you walk along, you can almost hear the thunder and see the lightning flashing. That expression on your face indicates that the two tablets of stone are too much for you to bear. Ah, but you struggle on. You say, I'll do my best and try to keep God's holy commandments. Surely I'll get to heaven that way. Listen, my friend, the Bible says that if a man shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Have you broken any of the commandments of God? If so, and I know you have, then you're guilty of all. Listen, my friend, no man was ever justified by the works of the law, and furthermore, he never shall be. It is utterly impossible for man to remove the stains of sin by obedience to that holy law. In Galatians 3:10, here's what we read, and cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The law, my friend, tells us how to behave, but it makes absolutely no provision for us if we've already failed to become guilty before God. In Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, here's what we read. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Again, in Romans 10:4, we read that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And finally, in Galatians 3:13, here's what God says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. No, my friend, Legality Lane will never lead you into God's heaven. Now, I can almost hear someone say, well, I'm glad I'm not on that road. I know I failed, and I'm guilty of the grossest violations of God's law. I've sinned against God for years and years, but I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start pleasing God by putting away my bad habits and cultivating new ones. Surely this will put me on the road to heaven. My friend, listen, this may come as a shock to you, but you're on Reformation Road. That's right, Reformation Road, and it leads to hell and the lake of fire. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15, here's what we read. God requireth that which is past. So friend, even though you were to reform today and turn over a so-called new leaf, as you call it, the old sin-filled leaves are still in the book, and you'll still have to face them at the great white throne judgment, unless, unless you substitute your reformation for the regeneration made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, we read the words of Jesus when he says to the religious Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And friend, this regeneration or new birth takes place the moment you acknowledge before God that you're a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and that the death of Jesus Christ is your only means of escape from the eternal wrath of a thrice holy God. No, Reformation Road will never lead to heaven. In fact, it's a dead-end street to the district called hell. Now, not far from Reformation Road, we find another superhighway called Morality Midway. Morality Midway. And you know, Morality Midway is crowded because many excellent people travel this road. They are people you'd like to have as friends and neighbors. They are people who revolt against all forms of sin and evil. They are people who pride themselves in their morals, ethics, and culture. They are commonly referred to as good people. Ah, but they have no good time for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no time for that blessed name of the one who loved them and died for them at Calvary. And yet the Bible clearly states, there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. My friend, listen. If morals could save your soul, if ethics could make you fit for heaven, if culture could put away your sins and make you fit for the presence of God, then tell me, friend, why did Jesus die? Why did he die that ignominious and shameful death at Calvary if you and I could get to heaven by being moral, ethical, or having culture? No, my friend, it's still in the book. Jesus Christ is the only way. In Gethsemane's garden, the Lord Jesus Christ, sweating great drops of blood, cried out three times over, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Yes, if there had been any other way of saving sinners than through his sacrificial death, it would have been made known then. Well, friends, Morality Midway will never lead to the pearly gates of heaven. In fact, it's going in the opposite direction. Now, there's still another road that runs parallel to Morality Midway, and I would call it Self-Righteousness Street. Self-Righteousness Street. It's a beautiful tree-lined street packed with scribes and Pharisees and other such church dignitaries. I hear one shouting, "I thank God I'm not as other men. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a blasphemer. I don't take drugs. I'm not an adulterer or murderer. Why, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Surely if anyone gets to heaven, I will." But friend, listen. Listen to what God has to say in Isaiah 64 and 6. "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Did you hear that, friend? God says all, A-L-L, our righteousnesses, that means so-called good works and religious rituals, are all as filthy rags. Now, friend, that expression, filthy rags, doesn't mean shreds of clothing that are covered with the dirt of the streets, but it refers to robes that are tainted and made unclean through the inward corruption that has exuded from the sores of a leper. That's what God says about all our so-called good works and self-righteousnesses. They all come, my friend, from a diseased, corrupt, and evil heart, and therefore they can never justify a sinner in the sight of an infinitely holy God. You know, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, here's what we read. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saved us." Again, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works." Did you hear that, friend? Salvation is a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, my friend, Self-Righteousness Street may look appealing, but it just does not lead to God's heaven. Now, another road so well traveled by those who assume that they're on their way to heaven, I would call Ritualistic Ramp. Ritualistic Ramp. Did you ever meet anyone on this road? Let's call one over and see what he has to say. "Hello there, friend. I see you walking down Ritualistic Ramp. Are you a Christian?" "Why, yes," he says. "I've been a member of such and such church since I was a baby." "Pardon me, friend, but perhaps you didn't understand my question. Have you ever been born again?" Well, he says, I was baptized when I was only 8 days old. Listen, my friend, you still don't seem to understand me. Were you ever converted? Oh, yes, he says. I was confirmed when I was only 12 years of age, and I took the sacrament for the first time. And I might add, I rarely miss a church service. In fact, I teach Sunday school and sing in the choir. You can be sure I'm all right. But is he? Is he, my friend? Here he is, sliding down ritualistic ramp into the flames of hell. He is sincere, honest, and religious, but headed for the lake of fire where he'll weep and wail and gnash his teeth throughout the countless ages of all eternity. Oh, sinner friend, listen. Get off of that road while you still have a chance. Baptism, sacraments, church going, and rituals cannot save that soul of yours. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin and fit us for the mansions above. Now, I feel terribly sorry for those so-called men of the cloth who are themselves on ritualistic ramp. Because, friend, as I've said before, all their pomp and ceremony are nothing but an abomination in the sight of a holy God. And remember, just because you've got the initials DD after your name doesn't mean that you are necessarily on your way to heaven. No, siree. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said, ye must be born again. So, clergyman friend, you'll soon be in the lake of fire if you pass out of time into eternity without Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Friend, listen. I make absolutely no apology for the Word of God. The Scriptures are clear, and regardless of who you are, ye must be born again. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on the narrow road that leads to heaven, or else you're on the broad road that leads to hell and the ultimate lake of fire. My, wouldn't it be nice if some of you preachers listening in today would get saved? Well, in any case, friend, ritualistic ramp will never lead to heaven, but instead it will lead you to the eternal torment in the place that Jesus Christ himself called hell. Now, another popular road taken by many people today is called Delusion Drive. Delusion Drive. These are the people who absolutely will not accept the Bible as the divinely inspired Word of God. They don't believe in the deity or the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in his sacrificial and atoning death on the cross of Calvary. They don't believe in an eternal hell. But they're ready to listen to every kind of devil-inspired doctrine apart from the truth of God. And friend, as they go down Delusion Drive, you can hear them uttering to themselves, God is good and good is God. There is no such thing as evil, sin, disease, and death. Every day, in every way, I'm growing better and better and better. Listen, friend. These people are deluding themselves and shutting their eyes to the realities of life and death. How can a person who is suffering from cancer see that there is no such thing as pain? How can a person who has been the victim of various sinful habits look you in the eye and say there is no such thing as sin? How can a person stand at the grave of a departed loved one and say that there is no such thing as death? The Bible says in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, Woe unto them that call evil good, and good, evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. My friend, Delusion Drive will end in an eternal hell, and people now trotting that road will soon wake up to the fact that sin is a reality, death is a reality, and hell is so real that it will be their place of abode forever and forever. My friend, listen. What a fearful thing it is to turn from God and trust in fables, to turn away from the signpost that God has given to point the way to heaven and instead go down Delusion Drive into the caverns of the doomed. Now, still another road that is distinguished, to say the least, I would call Modern Thought Boulevard. Modern Thought Boulevard. Many of the so-called intelligentsia tread this path. And the people on this road, I believe, would wear their cap and gown 24 hours a day. They are too proud to accept, thus saith the Lord. But instead, they bow down before science, philosophy, modern thought, and all the various devil-inspired delusions that are turning men away from God. These people say, I would like to believe in God, but Professor so-and-so says there is no God. I would like to believe the Bible, But how can we be sure that it is all the inspired Word of God? I would like to go to heaven if there really is such a place. I would like to believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm not too sure that He ever lived. My friend, listen. There's nothing wrong with getting an education and preparing for your life's work here on earth, but remember, you must meet God. And if securing an education is taking you away from your thoughts about eternity, then Modern Thought Boulevard is leading you down to the place where Jesus Christ said the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Now, still another road that I will mention as leading poor sinners into hell is the one which I would call Procrastination Parkway. Procrastination Parkway. This road, my friend, is loaded with fellow travelers, and all with the same devil-inspired theme. I'm still young and in good health, so I've got plenty of time to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior before I die. Is this the road you're traveling, my friend? Are you depending on getting saved on your deathbed? Is the devil deluding you into desiring more of the world's pleasures? If so, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says in Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And in Proverbs 27:1, here's what we read. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, we read, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And friend, listen to this sober warning over in Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Do you still want to go down this road, my friend, challenging God, as it were, to cast you into hell? Of all the roads that I've mentioned today, I believe that God hates Procrastination Parkway the worst. God knows how His Holy Spirit has striven with you in the past, and He knows how you've rejected His offer of mercy through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I ask you, friend, do you expect God to continually accept your rebuff without bringing down upon you His hand of judgment? No, my unsaved friend, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, young man, or young woman for that matter, God has a special warning for you over in Ecclesiastes 11:9. Here's what He says. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Did you hear that? God says, go ahead, young man, or young woman for that matter. Do anything you want to do. Go ahead, party up. Go in for drugs, immorality. Let your eyes perceive anything they want to look at. But He says, know that for all these things, I'm going to bring you into judgment. Sinner friend, are you on Procrastination Parkway? I hope not. Now, friend, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but at least 5,400 people die every hour. 130,000 people will pass out of time into eternity in this one day of grace. And if statistics hold up, and I'm sure they will, at least 47 million people every year are going to die. Yes, it is appointed unto men once to die, but friend, death isn't the end of it all. Oh, no. After death, the judgment. And friend, your soul and my soul are going to spend all eternity either in heaven above or else in the terrible lake of fire. Now, the part that grieves me the most is the fact that many people are content to sit in their churches and let a mere man tell them how they are bidding fair for heaven, and in many cases, the man in the pulpit is himself headed for the flames of torment. Listen, friend, I don't care if your preacher, priest, or rabbi, or other religious leader went to seminary for 10 or 15 years. I don't care if he knows all about church history and is a scholar of the Greek, the Hebrew, the Latin, and the Aramaic languages. Friend, if he's never been saved or born again through faith in Jesus Christ, I don't hesitate to say that those initials DD for Doctor of Divinity, friend, if he dies unsaved, they'll mean doomed and damned. Yes, in many churches throughout America today, it's a case of the blind leading the blind. But friend, thank God for every born-again preacher who preaches the Bible, the blood, and the blessed hope. And I trust that God will crown this day of grace with the salvation of many precious souls. Now, friends, time doesn't permit discussing some of the other roads that people are taking, presumably to heaven, but which in reality are taking them down the broad road to destruction. the temperance trail is one which is crowded with those who practice sin, but only in moderation. Then there's Second Chance Speedway. It's overrun by those who wallow in the muck and mire of willful sin one day, then unscripturally confess before man the next day, only to start up again and go round and round until they experience the blowout of time, and off they go into an eternity without Christ. Well, friends, our text says in Proverbs 14 and 12 that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Friend, I want you to know there's only one way to heaven, and that way is God's way, and that is God's Son. He tells us in John 14 and 6, I am the way, not one of the ways. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Again, he tells us in John 10 and 9, I am the door, not one of the doors. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So, friend, as this program of the gospel comes to a close today, I would plead with you, first of all, to acknowledge that you're a sinner. And we're all sinners. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Then by faith alone, trust Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, we bow in thy presence again today to thank thee for thy well-beloved Son. We pray thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friend, if you'd like to have a cassette with the program today, that is the message given today regarding the various roads that presumably go to heaven but in reality go to hell, you just write to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. This tape will be sent out to you absolutely free and postpaid. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.